cliffcentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man, the ad man. And it's another beautiful Wednesday of advertising. Yeah, and here we are once again. It's been a crazy ass week. Yeah, there's the triumph. I know you're wondering what the hell's going on. Where's Wu-Tang? No, Wu-Tang's still here. The triumph's still out there. Yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Adman. We've got a really, really dope show for you today. Yeah, 7 days. 7 days fly by, and a lot has happened in the past 7 days in the world of ad. Yeah, but I think, yeah, let's get into it. I've got a really exciting show today. I'm a bit nervous, to be honest with you. Yeah, just from the conversations I've been having before the show started, I'm nervous about how today's gonna go, because you know I've got people in the studio today who are in control a lot of the time, and they've already started trying to control things happening here, but they don't know that this is not their set, this is not where they're in control. This is my house, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah. I'll introduce you to them later. Yeah, so a couple of things I want to talk to you guys about today. Wow, it's been a crazy, crazy ass week. You were listening to Jesus Walks right there. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, I try to always bring it back to the world of branding and brands. But wow, Kanye, man. What the hell? I'm worried about the brand Kanye as much as I'm worried about the man Kanye. For those of you guys who don't know, he had a whole rant earlier this week at a concert, and then he was just saying things out loud that I think he was not supposed to say out loud, and I think that just tweaked some things in his mind. But I mean, without joking about it, I mean, somebody also reminded me that, lest we forget, that this is also the week that is the anniversary of his mom's passing. So that must have had some kind of effect on the man's brain. So yeah, he's in some kind of psychiatric hospital, and they're checking him out to see if he's going to be okay. Yeah, and we were all very excited for Pablo, but now, my man, it's not looking very good for him. But also, I mean, lest we forget about the brand Kardashian, that also has a role to play in all this, because you know, guys, are we going to ignore the fact that this is Lamar Odom all over again? This is exactly what happened. In fact, we were having a conversation about this just before this again, that it pretty much feels like every man that is somehow connected to the Kardashians from years back, all the way from OJ, something happens. Something strange happens if you are somehow connected, you know, because, you know, yeah, whether you want to believe it or not, you know, OJ is obviously Khloe's pops, you know, and all the way from there to Lamar Odom to Scott Disick, Rob, all the guys, one of the guys is not even a guy anymore because he got so tired of being a guy in this mix. It got that bad. So yeah, maybe we need to do an interrogation of that whole thing, of the Kardashian brand. And you know what? On the other hand, the girls are still making a lot of money. Just almost every other day, you're hearing about Kendall having done this. I mean, Kendall grew up to be a bit of a cutie, but without being creepy, she's making money. Kim's still making money. Chloe's still making money. And they're building the brand Kardashian, but killing the other brands that come along with them. That Chris Humphries guy was smart. I mean, he didn't look smart, but he was smart to get out when he did, because, I mean, you know, here we are. He could have been in a psychiatric hospital, but that's fine. That's brand Kanye. So if you're out there, you know, just like with every other thing that goes out on Facebook, let's keep Kanye in our prayers, guys, and make sure that he comes out on the other side of this unscathed. And then he'll be fine. Yeah, what else? Yeah, look, guys, I tried to avoid this thing, but we can't avoid it. I mean, I walked into Cliff Central today, and I mean, I think we have quite a vast, like, array of people who come to this place, but I didn't realize how vast an array of people actually are in this place until I walked in here, and it did actually smell of doom. So guys, I want to know, I mean, Tiger Brands, how are you guys feeling out there, man? Doom. I mean, I think this could go one of two ways, you know. Like, it could really be that, like, doom now is on the rise, you know. We're all just gonna start buying it, like, whether you believe this thing or not, just buy it just in case, you know, when your kids are being naughty, you know, when you know what I mean. But the guys at Tiger Brands must be conflicted. The kids must be the guys at Tiger Brands must be conflicted, you know, like like your brand is obviously like you're moving stuff off the shelf, but at the same time, you know, you're moving it for all the wrong reasons, because people are obviously thinking, you know, they're just going to spray their way into heaven, you know, or spray their issues away. But it, like, it'll be very interesting to see how they react, other than, you know, the press release that they released. You know, I don't think brand managers and marketing managers ever envisaged themselves having to explain what the ingredients of their products actually do. You know, how harmful their product can actually be. Because that's what they've had to do. They've had to tell people how harmful their product actually is. Because people are far in people's faces. Far, you know what I mean? And it's going to be very interesting to see how they react. Are they going to do an ad campaign? Is there going to be some kind of campaign telling people to stay away from Doom? Because that would be the direct opposite of everything they've been doing up until now. Of what every brand does up until now, telling people, stay away from spraying this thing. Or at least in the direction of your face or your friend's faces. But so yeah, it's going to be interesting. So we're going to keep an eye on that to see how that goes down. What else? What is going down? Ooh, this week, Mufftown Heights is happening this weekend. And I know all those Northwest people are very, very excited about that. But what does excite me is that KFC is still on board with that. So it says Mufftown Heights sponsored and or spiced by KFC. I think it's really cool when brands do that kind of thing. When you see that you have to kind of venture into speaking to your market without actually forcing yourself into, you know, just making dancing blacks, but actually going in there and actually trying to understand the essence of a brand. And you know, KFC was also a part of that show, The Hustle. So they're really getting behind hip hop, and I think that's a really, really cool thing. It'll be great to kind of get a word from them sometime. So maybe after the event, maybe next week, what we can do is we'll have a phone conversation with someone, or get somebody in here to chat to us about Mufftown Heights and the brand KFC and what spiced by KFC by KFC actually means. So we're excited about that. I'm going to be out of town because somebody I know is getting married. Big shout out to my homie Turbo getting married this weekend. Big shout out to my homie Turbo getting married. But that means I get to miss out on Mufftown Heights. But I'm sure we'll be able to get some people to give us detail about what went down there. But staying in the land of chicken, some somber news. I read actually just now that Mr. George Sambonos of KFC passed away recently. The leader and the mind behind the KFC brand passed away at the age of 67 after a long battle with cancer. So you know, wow. A big guy in the world of branding, a big guy in the world of everything, really, advertising. And anybody who's worked with him, I mean, I never got to work with him personally, but you only ever get to hear dope stories about, you know, how he brought the KFC, or the Chicken Licken brand, to South Africa, and how he was personally invested in making sure that the advertising looked a certain way, and trusting the agency in the way that he did. It's a very big loss to the ad world and to his family, obviously. So condolences to the Sambonos family. And to everyone who ever got to work with George, But let's move on. Oh wait, before we get into our interview, guys, there's another thing that has recently also just come back onto the foray. You know, every time the brand VW comes out with a GTI, you know what goes down, right? Like there's just concern all around. You know, like people in like relationships that are not that strong. There's a problem, because and this is what's happened. Social media has been taken over in the past couple of weeks by the Vrpa phenomenon, and you know the Vrpa phenomenon, and you know what? I invite you guys to tell me about your encounters with the Vrpa, or the Golf GTI. The Golf 7 GTI has emerged, and everyone has just kind of gone back onto the Vrpa conversation. So hit me up on. At Blaxem, that's at BLAXEM, or at CliffCentral.com, and let's talk to you about your experiences with the amazing Golf 7. Whether you know you were at Taboo and you went to the bathroom and your girl was gone because the Golf 7 GTI had done you in, or you know what I mean, or you just encountered these guys on the road and you realize that these guys, you know, are probably what BMW drivers used to be back in the day. You know, back in the day, people used to say BMW drivers are shit drivers. But no one can even talk about the driving of the guys of Buddy GTI. It's just, they're out here going Vrpa, stealing our women. You know, so I want to understand this phenomenon. Let me know. Talk to me. Send us your comments or your views on the Golf 7 GTI and how you think the brand itself is it either suffering or is it gaining any kind of popularity in a market that was never advertised to in that way before? You know, so like when you go out and you see a Golf 7 or GTI ad, it's always about the speed and the awesomeness. But there's obviously a subculture that exists about the respect that comes with the Golf 7 GTI. So speak to me about how you think we can elevate that, whether we should be elevating that, whether they should cancel that car because it's ruining relationships in South Africa. But yeah, man, I think I'd be interested to know, you know, how what your feelings are about that. But yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's kind of your newsish update. In fact, you know what I should do? I should probably come up with one of those like news jingle things going forward. You know, and then just rock some news. But those are kind of your news. And remember what I said to you last week? The G-Man Hawks, our investigative unit in here. You know, not related to the other Hawks, but the investigative unit here of the G-Man Hawks invites you to come out here and tell us about you know, any industry stuff that you think we should know. You can even talk to us anonymously, and you know, we won't say your name, you know, for fear of you losing your job, or for fear of you getting bad briefs going forward. But tell us what's going on. You know, tell us what you think we should keep our ears and our eyes out for. That's happening in your agency. What's happening around? Like, for example, The G-Man Hawks also told me that apparently there was a Danon pitch last week. No details were put out. I just know that a pitch happened, so we're just going to keep our eyes out for that one. So I can't give you too much detail about that, but I do know that Danon was out for pitch. So yeah, so just keep your eyes peeled and your ears to the ground, and let us know what's going on. Yeah. Oh wait, I almost forgot one piece of news before we get into our dope interview. Yeah. So the 94.7 challenge was last weekend. You know the thing that we all love? Well, you know, people who have bicycles love it. The rest of us, I just kind of go, I hate that I can't drive wherever the hell I want to go, because the 94.7 challenge has blocked all the roads. You know, so my Sunday becomes a bit of a mess because I can't go where I want to go. And apparently the guys at the Apartheid Museum, or the guys who have the Apartheid Museum account, OpenCo in this case, thought of a really cool campaign that they ran alongside the 94.7 and about the road closures. You know, so you know, every time someone tweeted and said, I hate that I can't get to Witkopen, as if anybody wants to go to Witkopen, but I can't get to Witkopen. And then they replied to them and reminded them about how back in the day, people's movement was actually prohibited in pretty much the way you're frustrated right now. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's a demonstration of kind of apartheid, and I think it's a really cool hook to get you thinking about the Apartheid Museum. Will it get you to visit the place? Possibly. If you haven't been, I mean, I think anybody who lives in Joburg and who has not been to the Apartheid Museum, I mean, it's doing themselves a disservice. Or to just actually just get there. Just go to the Apartheid Museum and go check it out for yourself. You need to take your kids there so that they're not out there calling kids the K-word on the playground, or not allowing other people to call them the K-word on the playground. Take your kids to the Apartheid Museum. Take yourself to the Apartheid Museum. And I think this is one of those things that actually goes out there to get that message across. So apparently what they did is they would send you back this message that had a dompas created out of the stuff out of your profile. So they essentially would take your photo, some of your stuff, and then create like a makeshift dump pass for you. So I think it's a really, really cool thing, a really cool initiative. Yeah, sometimes it takes initiatives like this for you to remember some of those things. But at the same time, I think, you know, I'm hoping that it's the beginning of what's going to be a consistent campaign. Apartheid Museum account has always, for me, felt like, you know, one of those super proactive accounts. When an agency is like, oh, the lorries are coming, bro. So I was thinking, why don't we like do something for the Apartheid Museum, because they don't actually have an agency. So it's always felt like one of those. And then people like do weird adverts with enamel cups and things. But it's okay, because we're past that as a people. But I really like to think that this is the beginning of something, of a great real campaign, and that going forward we'll actually get to see it, you know, grow more robustly and make better sense. But yeah, but well done to the guys at OpenCo. We're looking forward to more stuff from you. Now, here we are. So I mean, if you followed me on social media in the past couple of days, I've been, you know, from yesterday actually, spoke to you about how, You know, advertising is a very strange animal in that, you know, you see the ads on TV and you hear the radio ads, and you know, there's a voice artist, and you kind of, sometimes you even have an idea of the person who wrote the ad and whatever. But there's this other force behind everything that you see on TV. Not that force that does the wrong thing, but there's this other force behind everything that you see and hear that actually makes all this stuff come alive. Like, you know, It's the things that the normal person doesn't actually know about. You know, the fact that at some point, people need to get to that place, to the shoot. At some point, that entire shoot needs to be put together. And Radio Productions, for that matter. So in the studio with me today, I've got three phenomenal women who have had a lot of experience in that space, who have fought a lot of you out there. I mean, if you're in the land of ad, you've probably encountered these women and they've fought with you. And they've told you to get it together. And they've told you that the shuttle leaves at this time and tomorrow we will leave you. If you're not here tomorrow at the right time, we are going to leave you. And you also run to them and say, guys, I don't know about catering today. And they tell you to shut up because we're not actually at a restaurant, but I will fix the catering. But concentrate and I need to look into the monitor. So today I've got three really, really, really cool women that I had the pleasure of working with in the studio today to chat to me about everything that they do and everything that they've done. So I'm going to just in no particular order. First, I'm going to introduce you to Ufense Muremi. What's up, Ufense?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing, Ufense?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. You guys should see Ufense now. Shades. Oh, in fact, no. All of them are wearing shades. All of them are wearing shades. Ufense, I need you to come closer. Oh, no, all this cool.
Get rock star. Yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Just a minute in and I'm already dealing with that. How are you doing, Ufense? Tell me, what are you up to? What are you doing? Where are you at right now?
Right now, I'm a freelance producer.
Hello.
So, yeah, if you guys need a producer.
Yeah.
I'm at The Odd Number. I'm helping out there for a bit.
Oh, okay. And how long has that been?
I started in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit over a month now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
And
is that so the freelance thing is the way you're going to be going from now on?
The freelance thing is the way I'm going because, like, I've been a permanent somebody for a while.
What you guys don't know is that Ufense and I go way back.
Day one
in the egg game. Day one.
With our school bags and our lunch boxes.
You know what I mean? Bullies in the egg game, you know, taking our lunch money. But congratulations. I mean, and how has freelance been to you so far?
It's been cool because now I've got like the freedom.
Right.
I know I'm not stuck in one job. I can hate everybody and be like, you know, I can hate you, but you know, I'm not going to see you next month. So it's cool, you know. Before I used to hold it in, you know, just suffer in silence, being some, you know, bastard.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's dope. That's offensive. But then we're going to come back and talk about those moments of bastard. and next I want to talk to Ms. Kebetu Mukwena. What's up?
Hello. I'm good. And how are you, Grant?
I'm very well. Now, what you don't know is that Kebetu as well, I used to work with at NFCB, and then she went on to go work in a whole bunch of other places as well. How are you doing, Kebetu? What's up? What's going on?
I'm very great. Thank you, Grant Sitole. Yeah. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now I understand you're also on a freelance tip of some kind.
Well, I actually have a business of my own.
Oh, there we go.
Prosperita Productions.
It's called what?
Prosperita Productions. I actually started it with Ufense.
Okay.
Way back when we were at Draft FCB and Ufense just couldn't, you know, with the stress. Then she's like, I'm leaving this. You go and hustle on your own. And I'm on my own.
Yeah.
I do translations. I book a voiceover artist.
Yeah,
we write scripts. You know, so yeah, I basically do what I've been doing in the ad industry for the past 10 years.
So you're busy then? I mean, you've got
Can
money.
Can I be busy?
I've got money. I don't have money.
Yeah. I'm looking for money now.
Oh, that's dope. That's really dope. And I mean, you say that you did that while you were at FCB. And how long have you been doing it kind of as its own thing now?
It's been 2 years. I mean, it was conflict of interest,
so we couldn't
be competing with taking jobs from FCB while we're still employed there.
Right.
So I've been doing it since last year, 2015,
Jane.
Yeah,
hey,
it's been 2 years.
Hey guys, there's money there in the streets.
We are trying, we're hustlers. We need to hustle in high heels and make it happen.
There we go. I mean, if you're looking for catchphrases, you know, hustle in your high heels. You know what I mean?
Hashtag.
I mean, come on. On the other extreme there, I've got someone that a lot of you as well might have encountered, you know, who told you to shut up a few times, but also with a very big smile on her face. I've got Simone Bosman with me in the studio. What's up, Simone?
Hello, Grant.
Hey, someone, this is radio. Hey.
I'm being nice.
And sexy.
Allow me.
Nice and sexy. Mm.
So, hi, Grant.
Come on. How are you doing? Order.
G-man. The G-man.
Guys, see, I told you guys. I'm in control here, guys. Please,
okay, sorry.
Calm down. So, okay. So how you doing, Simone? How you been? What have you been up to?
Hey, I've been good. Hey, I've been superb. I've been busy, guy. Busy.
The last time you and I worked together was at Ogilvy.
Mm-hmm. Ogilvy.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear they've been. I hear you've left. You know, and I also know there are things you can't talk to us entirely about. But kind of give us a brief download, Nyan, of what you're up to. What you're up to these days.
Well, I'm not freelancing, so at least I can put that out.
Ah, okay.
Yes, I'm still doing my fashion thing, so that's still going on. But I might as well just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. okay. Cat, big.
I mean, it's a beautiful cat, man. It's a beautiful cat. I've decided to, you know, jump to the other side of the world in advertising. And I went back to my first love, which is production.
Oh, that's dope.
So I've started my own production house.
What? Get the fuck out of here. Really? What does that mean? Give us more.
What it means is that, hey, man, guys, we're doing things, you know?
Yeah.
So I've partnered up with Lorena Molina from Darling Films.
Shout out, Darling Films. What's up? What's going on?
Whoop.
Yeah.
And we started a nice little separate company called Molosana.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. Guys, you guys are working hard, guys.
Yeah, man. Molosana. Like, we're out here, guys. So, yeah.
That is exciting shit, man.
Yeah. So, it's quite fresh. It's different. I think, you know, I'm just going to claim it.
That's right.
First black female executive producer in the country.
Boom. What do you want?
From
what
the commercial side of things, that is.
That is fantastic. That
so
is really,
yeah,
really
so I'll leave
news,
it. I'll leave it there. That's what I'm going to leave. So that's what I've been doing for the past month and a bit. And yeah, we've been, doing some good things, eh?
That is exciting shit. That excites me a lot. That excites me a lot. I think we're gonna have a fantastic chat today. So yeah, you've met them. You've met the people that I'm hanging out with today. Hit me up. On Twitter at Blaxem at BLAXEM or at Cliff Central. And I mean, ask the ladies, congratulate the ladies, talk to the ladies about anything you want to know about the world of production. So what I am gonna do, no wait, before we go to the ad, because at some point I have to play an ad. But I wanna know though, guys. I mean, you know, it feels like all of you have taken the step away from the agency. Like fold, you know, like in different ways, obviously, you know, like some of you guys just went, you know, fuck it, I'm going to do freelance. Some of you guys said, you know, I'm going to set up my own thing, you know. So what is it that you actually miss about being inside the agency? Let's start with you, Kevin.
The people,
but that's a standard answer. Everyone says, oh, and it's even the thing that people said at all their farewells. You know, like, I'm going to miss all the people.
But it's true.
It is. It starts with the people, and then you miss the work.
Right.
When I'm on the other side, you know, of like, I'm a businesswoman and I hustle for the work. But sometimes it gets really, really, really quiet, and you're thinking, oh my God, you know, I miss that busyness.
That's
you
right.
get in the office and there's like about 10 emails or 10 briefs, you know, in your inbox. But now when you're alone, you're like, okay, you're gonna get like an email for Grant inviting you for an interview, and like, okay,
which is a pretty big
deal. You're going to get like a dinner invite, you know, from your friends to say, hey, we haven't seen each other. But in all honesty, it's just the people and the business,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And of course, like mixing up with the creative minds, you know. I miss, you know, like producing really, really, really cool stuff with really, really crazy people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
But I mean, it's also been just like 2 years. I mean, I would say just 2 years, but it's actually a long time.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, with more of the jobs that are coming.
Yeah, it still is coming.
And if is that you said vociferously, you said yeah.
Dude, remember
you missed the people
when
as well?
I left agency, I joined an animation company.
Oh, that's what's up, right? And you joined up with Greg Meek
with
and
Greg Meek.
Yeah, shout out Flick.
Yeah, no.
Boom. Yeah.
Now they're shining on my shine. Woo.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll talk to me.
No, I joined a small animation company. There were like three animators and myself.
Yeah.
And like I'd walk into the office and there's like five people. And,
yeah.
You know, like it's all like white guys, and you know, you wanna say, but guys, did you see Generations? And nobody
it, you know? And then you're like, when has an agency, I was bound to find somebody who's so, you know? You know? it's things like that.
Guys, like, says through the hourglass. So, advertising days of our lives. That's insane, man.
It is.
So are you saying then that you were eased out of it? You know,
yeah.
So you were eased out of being in a huge agency.
Yeah, and then I moved to, like, it was actually an extreme because FC is huge.
Yeah.
And then, like, I joined Flick, which was like four people. It was very intimate.
Right.
But I really liked it because I could run things.
Yeah.
And, like, you know.
Not a control freak at all.
No, not even a little bit. It's just a thing, you know.
Oh, that's crazy. Simone, tell me, what do you miss? Do you miss anything about the agency at all?
You know what? Like I said to you this morning when I walked in, I said, Grant, I really, really miss you.
Oh, I really miss you.
I miss you too. I miss my creative guys. Yeah. Like, as much as you used to come to my desk and stand there and look at me and be like, Sims, I'm like looking at you and like, what do you want me to do? Like, can you not figure this out by yourself? And then eventually, like, we'll be doing things together. So I really miss, you know, my creatives. You know, all the creators I've worked with over the past X amount of years. It's you know, just having that creative influence and having people come to you and say, you know, can you work with me on this?
Yeah.
You know, can we get you on this? Oh, we've got this awesome idea. Sim, you know what to do, blah, blah, blah. So I really miss that in terms of being a desk away from somebody. But it's not like I'm not going to have that.
That's right. But that's exactly what I was about to say. I think it's really important that you know, because in your new parts, your parts are going to cross with the people you've worked with before, obviously, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also, it's also about talking about the new models that we keep talking about, where, you know, maybe coming into some kind of process with other creatives, just like you did before, you know, where people come in and say, you know what, I think I need you to come into this process just slightly earlier so that you can help me with this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that I want us to get into a little later. Just kind of how you guys see yourself working going forward. How do you guys see yourself fitting into this thing? And then also, like, you know, the beautiful journeys you guys have had to arrive where you are now. You know, the times you wanted to stab people in the eye. You know what I mean? The times you wanted to stab people in the eye twice in one day.
Why are you looking at me?
Okay, so what I'm going to have to do now is I'm going to have to play an ad. To pay the bills, and then when we come back, I'm going to get into that. So remember, guys, I'm still hanging out with Ufense Moremi, Kiabetsu Mokoena, and Simone Bosman out here on Cliff Central. G-Man the ad man, hit me up at cliffcentral.com on Twitter, and at Blacksim, that's at BLAXEM, and let's have a conversation, let's have a young chat to these great young women around on the other side of this. Boom.
Choice. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Your boy is back. It's your man, G-Man, the ad man, and you're still hanging out with me out here on Cliff Central. And I hope you're listening out there. If you're not listening live, I hope you're listening out on the app. Get the app if you don't have it yet, because that actually doesn't make any sense. But I'm still hanging out with these three phenomenal women, three great producers that I'm chilling with, that I've had the pleasure of working with before. And these women now have got all types of things that they've got going on, you know, because that whole way of working with agencies is obviously evolving, you know, and the freelance thing is a conversation that we keep having a lot on the show, and it's come up again. But I'm very interested in, you know. I know a lot of people, to the point I made in the beginning of the show, a lot of people think that advertising is just all those other people. How did you guys find that you wanted to be a producer in this whole thing? Is that exactly how it started? Did you say that you wanted to become a producer?
No.
Wait, hold on. Let me start with the fence and tell me. when you got into this whole thing, did you say, you know what, guys, I'm leaving home, gonna go become a producer? Is that it?
No.
So how did you get into it?
I fell into it, actually.
Okay.
See, what had happened was, right?
Oh boy.
No, I went to study broadcast television adverts.
Okay.
They had a course there. I met Gabetsi there, actually.
Ah.
Yeah, Mare. She was not in my class because,
because
she was in the slow.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah. Discrimination is rough.
It is.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Yeah.
No. So I studied production management and production. I majored in production and camera.
Okay, cool.
And then Rachel called one of my lecturers saying, I need you to send me somebody who does production.
Yeah.
I need a new person
to
train.
Because I mean, the trend in production is that you must wait for someone to die.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is, actually.
Yeah.
So then, yes, somebody died and I got a job.
Oh, wow.
No, I went in for an interview. I didn't know what FCB was.
Right.
It was not on my radar at all.
Yeah.
And Rachel told me, look, pass your exams and next year you can work here. I was like, okay. I'm going to study. Then I'll have a job, you know. And then I got there and then they were like, okay, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And we're giving you full control. You can run this. And I was like, well,
wait a minute.
I mean, Pinky, this is how we take over the world, you know.
Oh man, that's insane. That's good. So advertising wasn't even like on your radar at the time.
No.
Ad agencies per se.
Not even a little bit.
And have there been any other people outside of Gabetsi, of course, from kind of around you who have found themselves in advertising exactly the same way that you did?
Wakile, actually, she's another producer.
Oh, shout out Wakile Stole.
She
what's going on? Boom, yeah, that's right.
Hey, Diddy Lady. Yeah.
hey,
I'm a producer, man.
Hey, man.
Can we apply? We can send you a code.
Hey, In fact, let's move on. tell me how you fell into this, outside of it being because you bumped into Finta somewhere at school.
No, I didn't. My mom bumped into somebody, one of her.
It rhymes with nepotism.
Yeah. And, because both my parents are in the industry.
Right.
You know, FCB is looking for producers. And she came to tell me FCB is looking for. I said, what's FCB, mama? What am I going to do? I don't know anything about music. What am I going to do? A radio station? You know? It's like, no, just go and get interviewed and see what happens.
Yeah.
Then Rachel, I called Rachel and she called me for an interview.
It's Rachel that keeps
talking about. Name keeps popping up.
Rachel Andriotti.
Yeah. She's known in the industry as Don Andriotti.
Boom.
Don Andriotti.
So I got there. Mine is different from Offense. I was being interviewed for a radio producer.
Okay.
So hence I was very confused when they told me I'm going to be a radio producer. I was like, mama, please, like studio, you know I studied television and broadcasting, not radio. So yeah, the rest is history. I was employed in 2006 and here I am
in
2016.
So was it like that for you as well, Simone? Was it accidental? Did you also fall into it having done something else? is there such a thing as going out there and saying I want to be a producer? You know,
how did it happen
for you? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, my story, I mean, look, we've got time, so.
Here we go.
Started here on radio.
All right.
Yeah. I was working, I'm from Cape Town, and I was working at.
Cape Town, stand up.
Yeah, Cape Town, easy. I worked at a radio community station called Bush Radio, and
I thought we were past that as a people. What?
I know, I was there at Bush, like, I started there, like.
How many people still using words like that? No, I'm kidding.
Come on, Grant. I'm being nice.
No, carry on. Sorry.
So I honestly wanted to become a journalist and went to UCT, studied film, was in class one day. This guy comes and he's talking about the ads that he's produced and all these things. And there I am lifting up my hands and I'm like, but that ad, it portrays black people in a negative light. And that Telkom ad, the Molo Mhlobo one.
Right. Mm. Oh, the one that everyone loves.
Yeah.
You hated the ad.
You hated the Molo Mhlobo.
You know,
lady from Molo San.
I did not say I hate it. I challenged them.
Yeah.
And that was my interview. And I went into production after that. And then from that, I went into advertising, Saatchi's in Cape Town. Got headhunted at Metropolitan Republic. And did my
Paul Warner got you to move from Cape Town, huh?
More of the clap ad, actually.
Okay.
I saw that ad and I was like, dope, I want to do those things.
Yeah.
And then I got a lot of that from end to end. And then I ended up being senior TV producer there and then went to Ogilvy. So
that's awesome.
And that's
really, really
the
cool.
last of my
It's really interesting for me because, you know, like what also comes up a lot on the show is the relationship that Cape Town has with the industry and the fact that they are pretty much their own country. You know, they do their own thing and whatever. And what is, how easy was it for you to make the call? To make the call to move up from Cape Town to Joburg? Was it because you just knew that you wanted to make the as like the clap clap ad and no one was going to make as like that in Cape Town? Or did you just feel like, you know what, this is just a personal thing. The industry is fine in Cape Town. I want to go to another part of it.
Man, I was hungry. I was so hungry to do some more creative things.
Yeah.
I think that the push was more for the energy and coming to Johannesburg. A lot of people that I met in Cape Town who are from Johannesburg always thought that I was from Johannesburg.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I thought. I mean,
you know,
for a
everybody
long time.
No. I'm from Cape Town. Yeah. I'm like born and bred. I'm from there.
That's right. That's it. Shout out Push Radio. Yeah.
And yeah, like I think that just working with people of, you know, of my age, being creative, I mean, coming from production and also working at Saatchi, I was able to interact with a couple of people who had experience in Johannesburg. And I thought, you know what? There's something in this Johannesburg situation that I need to go and check out. And, you know, Okaya Langer was actually working at Metropolitan at the time as a writer. And he was the one who was like, yo, you should come through. And when I eventually got the call, like out of the blue from Nicola Martin, I was like, yo, I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
So it was quite something.
That's dope. That's really, really cool. Yeah, look, I think it always like baffles me how many people, you know, like, but I guess it's a Joburg thing. How many people are not actually, you know, from that thing that every time everyone thinks advertising is for the popular kids and it's for, you know what I mean? Mm. And a lot of people, like, no one knows. Well, a lot of people might know that Ufense comes from the Val, you know, and the Val is far. You know what I mean? And all
the way you said it. I want to hear where this
and,
is going.
No, and the Val is far. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, I do like one aspect of the show that I do like a lot is how I'm hoping that it inspires somebody from all those places, you know what I mean? To kind of go, I mean, if Ufense from the Val can make it in advertising, in as much as I'm being for real, in as much as Simone from Cape Town can make it in this big industry thing, why can't I? So tell me though, why is it though? Do you think? I'll start with you, Cabbage. Mm. Why is it though? Do you think that even especially the production side of it, and you don't have to say anything that makes you feel uncomfortable. what does it feel like? Like it's still a very exclusive club. It feels to me like this because a lot of people don't know about the production side of things. A lot of people don't know that it even exists until they actually, you know what I mean? Because out there, nobody actually ever talks about, you
the
know, the producer, which is a conversation you and I have had. Why do you think it is that way? Do you think that it just is not PR'd enough? Do you think that it's just an exclusive club?
I was just going to say that I think it's not public relations.
Yeah.
So the more we talk about it, the more when a person like a director comes on a show or a copywriter, they come, they need to acknowledge that besides me, I need, you know, I've got all these other people that I work with and I've got producers that, you know, go and call people or put this whole thing together.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the makeup artists. They never really talk about makeup. They never really talk about engineers, you know, but you've got those people that
that's
play bigger roles,
yeah,
you know, than the person that is being PR'd. Yeah. So, yeah.
And look, I agree with you entirely. And that's one of the things that this show like endeavors to do is kind of go, guys, there's more to it than the people you always hear about.
Because think about it, Grant, to do a radio, a radio ad, how many people do you need? You first need a
Grant's
copyright.
Grant's Tolle.
Yes, Grant's Tolle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, so let Grant's Tolle 1 acknowledge all the other 5 that comes
you.
After
I
him.
Hear you.
You
I
know?
Hear you.
So it starts with you. The Edmund.
Yeah. So yeah, and is that your view as well, Ofenza? Do you feel like we're just not talking about production enough? Do you think that we lose a lot of producers to other types of kind of production spaces? So do you think more producers go to film and TV as opposed to coming to the advertising industry?
I do. I think the ultimate goal is film and TV.
Right.
Like I still
because that's what
to,
you wanted to do.
I still
as well.
Want to be a film producer.
Okay. Is that the holy grail? Is that where everyone wants to end up?
Yes. Yeah? It actually is.
Really? Is that it? Do you guys all feel that way? They're like you know, I must always aspire to the big Anand Singh production.
Yeah. I think you must always be aspiring to something.
Right.
And the reason I left agency the first time around is like I felt like I'd done it all before. It's like the same thing over and over. And when I joined animation, I learned like a whole other side of it. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And then when I got tired of that, I realized actually, you know what? I'm one of the best.
Boom!
You know?
That's what's
I'm
up.
I'm going to be a freelancer.
That's what's
you
up.
You know? Highest bidder.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I do want to go into film production. Yeah. And I would just like to say, the Val breeds a whole lot of rock stars, myself included. So let's not get it twisted. We might be far, but, you know, let's not get it twisted.
Yeah. We need more money to produce those films.
Oh, that's great. Look, I'm a big fan of the Val. I've got a whole bunch of friends from the Val. But it always surprises me.
I like black people. Most of my best friends are black.
The Val.
Yeah, I see you.
No. That's not what I meant, and you know it. But is that the same with you, Simone? Do you think that is your aspiration to go onto like film or whatever, or should we be breeding? Should we be somehow breeding people who also know kind of the value of being a really dope producer in advertising? Because I mean, for example, when you go to the Lurie's, right, there are also some names that you just have been seeing ever since you started in the game. Mm. You know, so obviously it's because they see this. The ad game as a place that they can add a lot of value, you know, and obviously when you have, I'm not saying that people shouldn't want to leave, but do you think then that we should be asking people to learn how to want to be, to make this their holy grail?
Let's just put it in this way. I think that a lot of people do not, and maybe it's because we make our job seem so easy.
Yeah.
That we are basically magicians and we're octopuses and we are pretty...
Octopuses.
We are Olivia Popes. Olivia Popes.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, and I think people don't understand that you'll get some people that feel like, I don't need an agency producer. Mm. Guys, can I just tell you, the amount of money a client spends on a particular job is equivalent of a small townhouse.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a house that can it's a home for a whole family.
Right.
So you take 800K and you think that, okay, what will happen to 800K?
Yeah.
That's an investment. Yeah. You need somebody that's going to manage that money money in the
that
right places, you know?
True.
And I think
I respect that. That's perspective.
And the thing is that, you know, as an agency producer, first of all, you need to be experienced and know how you're going to invest that money in the right places.
Yeah.
Employ the right people or get the right people on board to actually produce this thing.
Yeah.
It's 30 seconds or 15 seconds or 60 seconds. And you've got so much to do with that money.
Yeah.
So I do think that we need to put more emphasis on the importance of producers, because the amount of time that we invest to make things happen is a lot. The amount of pressure that we take is a lot. If you don't ensure a shoot and it's rained out, are so screwed. If you go and buy a track, if you go and use a track in a commercial and it's flighting, EMI is going to come for you. Shame.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to be sued. So many times when we say no, and I'm saying this because I'm looking at you, Grant, because we'd often have these discussions.
Put those years behind me.
Yeah. But we can make things happen.
That's right.
Right. And we make it look so easy, but it's such hard work. And we have to manage not just creatives that will cry because there's no Amakanda on set.
Yeah.
If there's no money for Amakanda, like there isn't, guys.
Yeah. Let's make time for eggs.
For eggs.
Yeah.
I love eggs.
No, but you know what? I agree with you entirely. I feel like it's you're right. It's because you guys make it seem so effortless that people take it for granted. People don't realize, you know, the value. Well, I think everyone understands the value, but everyone just kind of thinks that a lot of the things behind the scenes just happen all by themselves.
Oh,
you know? Whereas, you know, I know that you know, I've been on set with pretty much all three of you. And I know what it takes to kind of all the sanity that you place on the line every time you go into set with agencies and with production houses. So for me, what I would like to know is what would you change about the process that you guys have dealt with? I mean, you guys have all left the agency side of it. But what was the one thing, you know, that I think creatives should hear? What's the one thing that frustrated you the most about your process that you think if the entire industry just kind of changed a little bit, we would make things work slightly better? Should I?
Simone's
got the words today.
I'm like, okay. One word, listen. Listen to us.
Okay.
When we propose things, it's not because of, we're trying to put our friends on.
Mm.
We've worked with a lot of suppliers and we know who might be good for something. So if we say and we suggest, and we're not forcing the issue, if a producer says, guys, I really think you should consider using ABCDFG because of whatever, then cool, give it a shot. I've experienced that many a times. I'd find myself many times just saying, I told you so in the back of my mind. When you're briefing somebody and you know, like, eh, this guy, like, really, you know? So
I said I told you so out loud.
No,
I didn't bite my tongue. I was like, I told you so.
But was it one of those things where you had said something?
You were like, but what did I say?
Yeah.
As that's
true.
Grant, did I not tell you?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? I think And it actually goes back to something that's happening with on the creative side as well, right? And I'm gonna pose that to you guys. So it feels like there's a level that everyone gets to, especially in production now as well. Now that you three are here, and then at that point everyone falls off, right? Because of the fact that it feels like in order for you to become the head of production at a big agency, someone needs to die. Right? Is that really what it's felt like to you? I mean. Do you think that's the status quo? Am I exaggerating this?
No. For me, it was, there's no growth. When you're a producer, that's all you are. You're a producer. You produce ads. You do the same thing as the head of department, really.
Right.
So you're not learning anything new.
So your aspiration was never to become the head of production?
No. Okay. I just wanted to keep learning more. Agency was never my final goalpost. Yeah. It was never that.
Gabby?
Offense is right. You know, once you're a producer, you'll always be a producer. You do what your boss is doing. Hence,
but it's not
over,
a bad thing,
over,
is it?
It's no, not. But you're not growing. You're not going to go from copywriter to create. You know how creatives go, creative director. You grow. There's with
levels.
Production, there's a ceiling.
Levels.
There's a ceiling with production. Yeah. And you want to grow.
But you see, I feel slightly differently about that. And I could be wrong because, you know, I'm not in your guys' shoes. In as much as you guys draw the comparison between copywriters eventually aspiring to become creative, but not all copywriters aspire to or can become creative directors and executive creative directors, because maybe your craft is the technical side of it, right? And not necessarily the managerial side of it, and you're not necessarily are going to be able to run a creative studio, right?
But there's the possibility.
But the possibility does exist. Whereas I think what's important is acknowledging the, if we're going to talk about changing the way our ads work and changing the way we perceive each other and black people, right? It's going to take people in leadership positions, right, to be able to make some of those calls so that you can filter that thinking into an entire department. Now, what happens when people like producers like yourselves, of the amazing opinions that you guys have, fall off? I get the sense that we're being robbed of somebody who can become the head of production, who can actually start having the conversations that are tough to have right now. Like we all know those situations where you're going, but I feel like someone's just made a head of production call here. You know what I mean? I really think that it's important that we have people who can make head of production calls when things come to a head. You know what I mean? And that's why I think it's important that you guys, even if it's not you, that other people who come after you should want to be the head of production. Unless there's something I'm missing. Unless you guys think that that's wrong. Tell me if I'm talking shit.
Well, it's a bit complicated because, you know, in all fairness and honesty, the head of production manages the production department.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a managerial role.
It's a managerial role. But, you know, in terms of the decisions that as agency producers make, you always balance it off with your HOD at the end of the day. And we're always working as a team. You know, that was a beautiful thing, like, you know, at Ogilvy that I had. And it's not like, oh, I can't do anything if Debbie says no.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
Debbie will first say, okay, fine, do you think this is right? And I agree with you. It makes sense. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
So it's a managerial position. So in as much as, like, you have, you know, whether you have black or white agency producers there, yes, it would be great to have more black agency producers so we can push the agenda inside there.
Because I don't know that many.
As the ladies are talking, I'm thinking.
I can't think of one. I can't think of one agency that has one black head of production.
I know one lady who just left a big agency because they couldn't give her a managerial.
Yeah,
it's true.
Anyway, but I mean, that is the bigger picture that I can talk about.
Yeah. Should we bite our tongues? No.
No.
No. Look.
Check us out. You're on Cliff Central. This is unscripted.
But
uncensored.
Guys, okay, I think,
you know what I mean? And we can have the frank conversations. And I don't want you guys to say anything, like I said, that you don't want to say. But I think that it's important that we have a view on that. No?
No, you make a good point. I never actually thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
To make good
really?
Points. What you call?
Okay, wait. I've got here a tweet saying shout out to Simone Bosman. It's from Tato Yamudimu. So you've got fans out there. You've got like four hearts on this tweet. So shout out, Tato. So that's dope. And I mean, you know, guys, the time really flies when we're having these dope conversations. But I really, really want to, I'm glad I put those things in your heads right now so that when we do come back, one day we're going to come back and we're going to have another session of this conversation, because I do want us to, I feel like we scratched the surface today.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot that I want us to get into and talk about in this production space going forward. But our hour's almost up. It flies by and we're almost
done.
We
only just had an hour?
I know.
I thought it's like 3 hours.
Grant,
that's what I thought as well.
I'm okay with overtime this time.
Is it?
I'm very much okay with overtime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you guys should know what
it's
like.
I think all of us are okay with overtime today. <Yeah. laughs>
Guys, if we go overtime, the crew is going to start complaining.
Oh, really?
There's no budget.
Yeah, there's no budget. They start charging us a time and a half at overtime.
Things you guys must know.
Yeah. But tell me, guys, real quick. I mean, if I could just get like 30 seconds from each one of you guys. What is it that you, what piece of advice would you give, Offense, I'll start with you, to anybody who is starting at their first day in production at an agency today?
Trust your instincts.
Mm. Yeah.
And don't be afraid to speak up, because if you don't speak up, people will walk all over you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no getting over that. Once it starts that way.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, people call me a bully or whatever, and I'm not a bully. I'm like a small little thing.
Yeah.
You can't.
By people, she means everyone.
She used to make people cry. Yeah. She is a bully.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you. So dope. Gabriel Mugwena.
I would say pretty much the same thing. Go for it. Be outspoken. Learn. If you want to get out of it and be client service and be any other thing in the industry,
don't do it.
Do it. Do it. It's fun. It's a fun industry. You're going to have fun. It's very fun.
That's
and
dope.
Very
That's
expensive.
Dope. Thank you. Simone. Hit us up.
Hey, man. All I'm going to say is start from the bottom and learn as much from the bottom. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask so many questions. Even the simplest of light on set or the animator does a render and you don't know what a render is.
That's
and this
right.
goes to any young TV assistant who feels that when she gets there or he gets there and there's so many things going on and there's so many words flying around, ask all those questions and learn and implement.
That's so cool.
You've got so many great support in your agency structures, in production houses, that, you know what, the young needs to learn, the young needs to groom. And I would also strongly suggest that the older ones have been in this industry for such a long time also need to impart their knowledge with the young, because I would not be sitting here if it wasn't for people grooming me. So that's
that
all
is
I
so
can
dope.
Say.
That is so dope. Boom. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Our hour is up. I didn't actually get to see Gareth today. I don't know where he's at, but I'm hoping that he's going to listen to this podcast and realize that I do need that extra hour. So, Mr.
Yes,
Cliff, the lobby is growing now. but yeah, guys. I mean, I think thank you so much, guys, for coming to hang out today.
Thank you. I've had
a really dope time. Like I said, I was nervous up front because of all the control there was in this room. But yeah, thank you so much for coming to hang out. And to you out there, remember, get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Mm-hmm. Play it for your mom. We didn't actually swear. I don't think we saw at all, actually. Get the podcast, play it for your mom, because there wasn't a lot of swearing. And once again, the podcast worked that way. You don't have to listen to it now. You don't have to listen to it. But on your way to a meeting, play it. You know, when you're on set and they're still changing the lights, listen to the podcast. You know what I mean? But still keep your eye on the set itself. I'd like to thank all you guys for having been listening up until now. Listening out live out there. But have a fantastic week of advertising. And once again, I'd like to say, you know this, and I know this. If the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. cliffcentral.com.